In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, it starts off and really is talking to us and dealing with us on the fact that we don't deserve the love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ still loved us. His love for us is not based upon our performance. It's not based upon our ability to fulfill the law. His love for us is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ was sent as evidence of his love for us, and that Jesus Christ did his work on our behalf, all demonstrations of his love. That's a great thing to remember. And as you're starting this week, as you look ahead towards today and towards the rest of the week, what are the things that are just causing you to be fearful? What are the things that are causing you to be anxious? What are the things that are just uncertainties in your life? Those are the things that we want to pray with you about today. But I also just want you to stop and consider that, you know, whatever those uncertainties might be, even though you can't see the answers, even though you can't see how this might turn out, oh, we can look ahead and we're very good at foreseeing what things might go wrong. We're very good at looking at problems and anticipating and planning for the worst possible outcome. But it's really hard for us to identify. It's really hard for us to see. It's really hard for us to grab hold of and grasp the potential, the good things that are already done for us. The potential that is already, the work's already done. It's potential because it's up to you and I to grab hold of it in faith, to grab hold of it, those promises of Jesus Christ, those promises of the Word, and bring them into the reality of our lives. And here's the thing. I think a lot of times, and I've talked to people even the last week, more than one, actually, that have said, even though they know that God's promises are true for them, it's just hard for us sometimes to grab hold of them. Even though we know that God's promises are not dependent upon our goodness, our righteousness, his promises, are promises for us. In faith, we just have to lay hold of them. That's a struggle for us to do. I want to encourage you today and stir within your very soul just an anticipation for how good, all the good things, how good God has made plans for your life. And I want you to be able to just see that those things are not based upon your performances. Those promises are not based upon anything that you do or do not do. They are yours already. And that's part of the beauty. It's part of the evidence of that unconditional love that Jesus has for you and I. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in past times, in times past, in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, who is great for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. This is Paul writing his letter to the Ephesians and to you and I today and reminding us of how great God's love is. First of all, he's making sure that we understand and that we know that while we were still dead, while we were still bound because of our sins and our trespasses, he made us alive. Even when we were still sinners, he made us alive. And even though at one time, let me read this verse number 2. This is Ephesians 2:2. Let me read this to the Amplified Bible. In which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. That's a really deep, I mean, that's really saying a whole lot in one verse when you read in the Amplified Bible. He's saying that even when you and I, even when we were still walking, we still had the habit, We were in the habit of walking in all the things that were not of God, not glorifying to God, but they were things of the world. They were things of the flesh. They were things that yielded to the flesh. They were things that really just caused us to be influenced by the powers of the air, by the spiritual demonic forces that are at work and are at work here in this country. And we can line ourselves up with those things. And even when we had lined ourselves up with those things, even when we were disobedient and placing ourselves under the control of the one who hates us and wants to destroy us, even at that time when we were totally undeserving of God's love, yet he still quickened us. Verse number 3 says, amongst those that we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior governed by the corrupt and the sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. That paints a really dark picture of where we were at. And yet, even when that's where we were at, God, so rich in his love, so rich in his mercy, so full of just an outpouring of abundance of love for you and for I, even when we were there, he still loved us. He still quickened us. In other words, he still allowed that power of Jesus Christ, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that worked in us to bring us, who were dead in our spirits, to a place of life. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and the wonderful and intense love in which he loved us, even when we were dead by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Now listen to this. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. How much love is that? God gave the very life of his son Jesus. God gave and Jesus laid down. That's the demonstration of love. He gave the very life of Christ himself. Listen to this. The same new life with which he quickened him for. It's by grace, his favor, his mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgments, and made partakers in Christ's salvation. That same power, that same love that acted on Jesus Christ, that same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, that same power is the power that brought you to a place of spiritual resurrection, that brought you to a place of once being dead, but being made alive. It's the same exact power that's worked in your life. Now, having said all that, let me just read verse 60, then we'll go back. Verse number 6 says, and he raised us together in him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Picture yourself, because this is what he's saying. He's raised you and I together and made us to sit together along with Jesus Christ as joint heirs with Jesus in all the promises of God, in everything that Jesus has obtained, in every promise that he has obtained because of his sacrifice and his resurrection, in everything that he has accomplished and gained by his work, not by your work, nothing by your work or my work, but by his work alone, because we've accepted that love of Jesus Christ. We've accepted that love given and demonstrated by the Father through the Son. Because we've walked in that love, we are seated in heavenly places. We'll come back and talk about that. That's just astounding to think about. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, joint heirs with everything that he's obtained. Now, here's the thing. You can read through that, and you can say, that's all great, and I love that, but you know what? That's not what I'm experiencing in my life. I'm not really getting a sense of being a joint heir. I'm not really getting a sense of being seated in heavenly places. In fact, I look at my life, and it just feels like life is overwhelming me. I'm not overwhelming it. Life is having its way with me, not the other way around. So when I read that it says I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, when I read that it says I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, I don't feel that way. Okay, what vast majority of us would say in our lives, what vast majority of us would right now today say, yeah, I don't really feel that. I hear it, but that's not my experience. I don't feel it. Why is that? And ask yourself this question. Do you believe it's true? Do you believe that's truly God's intention for you and I? Regardless of whether or not it's what you experienced, do you believe that that's true? Let me read verse number 6 to you again, both in the Amplified and first of all from the King James. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the Amplified, and he has raised us. This means you. He has raised you up together with him and made us, made you sit down together, giving you joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue. Why is it? Is it because of what you did? Is it because of your works? Is it because you've somehow earned it? No. It's by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Listen, here's the thing. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you will ever be able to do that's going to make you worthy of that kind of position, of that kind of seating in the heavenly spheres. There's nothing you can do to earn that. But that's what the first five verses of chapter 2 are telling us. It's not by anything that you did. It's not because you were able to somehow fulfill the law. It's not because of something you were able to do. It's not because you've lived your life, even as a believer, you've lived your life in such strength of his word that you've somehow earned this. You never will be able to earn it. It simply is evidence of his great love for us. It simply is evidence of his love for you. It can't be earned. Now, if you said to yourself, well, let me ask yourself that question, then answer that question for yourself. Do you believe that to be true? Regardless of what your experiences have been, do you believe that to be true? That you are seated in heavenly realms, seated with Jesus Christ? Yes or no? That's one of the key questions you have to answer for yourself. Because if you don't believe it, you're never going to be able to experience it. Now, you can believe it and not have experienced it. But this is the word of God. This is what God himself is saying through Paul in his letter to the Ephesians to you today. He's saying the same thing. This is what my plan is. As God the Father, this is my plan for you. This is what I've established for you. This is what is yours based upon my love for you. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus as joint heirs. Now again, remember, there's that difference between the natural world and the spiritual world. We see, we experience with our senses, we understand the things of this natural world. It's harder for us to sense and to understand the things of the spiritual world, but the spiritual world is just as real. In fact, it is more real than this that we experience here, because all of this is going to pass. But the things of the spiritual realm will not pass. It is just as real. And if there's a promise in the Word of God, that means in the spiritual realm it's already done and finished. We just have to bring it from that spiritual realm into this natural realm. And that's where the difficulty comes for most of us. But you have to decide today, do you believe this statement to be true? That you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that you are seated with him in the spiritual realm, you're seated with him. Well, you can't see it with your natural senses, and you can't feel it. But do you believe that it's true, that you are seated with Jesus Christ? You have access to the throne of grace, and you are seated with Jesus Christ and joint heirs with everything that he has possessed because of his work, completed work already done on your behalf. The first step is insane, acknowledging, I do believe that's true. In spite of what my experiences may or may not have been, I believe that to be true. If you believe that to be true, then we can start taking the steps to realizing those truths. We can start taking the steps to realizing those things in our life. We can take the steps to seeing those things come to pass, that you will look back and say, you know what? It's not only that I believe I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I'm experiencing that. It is the best that Jesus has for you, and we can experience it. We can. It comes down to us. Tomorrow, when I come back, I'm going to look at those verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 again, because they really show us exactly what it is. Why is it that I'm not experiencing those things in my life? Why is it I'm not experiencing the kind of victories that would say I am seated as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am seated with him. You can go back and look at those verses yourself. We'll look at it again tomorrow, but it comes down to, where am I placing my thoughts? Where am I placing my soul? Where am I placing my physical being? What are the things that I'm doing? Because we've been set free from things, but that doesn't mean that we don't still sometimes choose to linger in those baser things, in those lesser things, in those things that keep us. We're the ones that choose. You and I get to choose. Am I going to sit and dwell in the natural realm and in the natural and baser things? Or am I going to choose to sit in and realize and experience fully all of those promises that are in the spiritual realm, which will overtake the things of the natural realm? It's my choice. It's my choice every single day. And that's what we'll read from verses 2 through 5 tomorrow. But know this. Ask yourself this between then and today and tomorrow. Seriously, do you believe that verse 6 is true and it's true for you? Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to ever be able to enjoy the fruits and the benefits of what Christ has accomplished for you. And how God's love has allowed you to be seated with him who has already procured and obtained every deliverance, every blessing, every good thing for you. It's his word.